Amen. You'll turn in your Bibles. Wow, that's pretty strong this morning, isn't it? It's a little bit different. I'm using a lapel mic this morning, so anyway. Y'all have heard my voice a lot this morning. You get to hear it for maybe about 30 more minutes, hopefully. Maybe not too much longer, and MK just looked at me as like, right, 30 minutes. Jonathan, I've seen your notes. I've seen how many scripture references that you have in your notes. You will be pushing 45, 50 minutes. Is that what you were thinking? Maybe longer? All right. Not to mention, she's thinking in her mind, you always seem to come up with some songs or hymns in which to illustrate your point or reinforce it. And so she's thinking, my goodness, we may be here an hour. Trust me, this morning, I do not have any plans in which to last an hour this morning, but I will allow God freedom to speak through me as He sees fit. And if it's 25 minutes, amen. Okay, all right. I was coming back, and you know, you were like, oh, an hour, and Jonathan, you do realize that we did spring forward an hour. We may have lost an hour of sleep, and so, but again, you do have those M&Ms. Chocolate is a good way in which to perk yourself up, so if you grabbed one of those, now, if you haven't, don't go back there right now while I'm preaching. You should have done that already. Amen. All right, enough of that, because MK, I'm picking on her this morning. MK saying, Jonathan, get to your sermon or you'll never finish. You've already chased enough rabbits this morning. So, well, Pastor Chris texted me yesterday morning and let me know that he would not be able to be here with us. You know how much he loves to preach from the Word. And so it is always a very difficult decision for him to say that he's not going to be able to be here. He did text me on Friday letting me know of the possibility, so the Lord was kind, and He brought my thoughts to this passage of Scripture. And yesterday, He was even more gracious by allowing me the time to study and to come up with what you have before you today. As we are nearing the time of Easter, this is why this passage of Scripture came to mind. This is nearing the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, and He gives us some clues. In fact, gives us some clues as to why He came in the first place. And in fact, in my copy of God's Word, there's a heading there that says the mission of Christ. And so I've changed the wording just a little bit this morning because I so love alliteration, and many of you know that. And so the title of the message this morning is The Charge of Christ. Christ, when He was here on this earth, He had a charge that drove Him to the cross. From the moment that He took His first breath to the moment that He took His last breath on the cross, He had a charge in His life, and that was to go to the cross and die for the sins of all mankind. And therefore, by dying there for the sins of all mankind, making it available forgiveness for sins and a restored relationship with our Father in heaven. Amen? And so this is the charge. And I feel this morning, as we look at this, it will give us a better idea of what Jesus, what He had in mind when He was here. And not only that, what He expects of us as His followers. Now, some of these components of this charge are not necessarily what we're called to do, but there is an aspect of it that I think we must have in our lives as we seek to do His will here on the earth until He returns. Amen. So if you are willing and if you are able, would you please stand as we read this passage of Scripture, John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. I'm not sure I gave you that, but you had your notes, hopefully. John chapter 12. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible this morning, and you can follow along in your copy of God's Word, or the words, the scripture will be on the screen. Jesus cried out. I like this. He cried out. He didn't say this quietly, did he? He proclaimed it to those around him. He cried out, "The one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last days. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know this command is eternal life, so the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask very humbly this morning that you would come and make your word alive in our hearts. It is already alive. But Father, may it burn within us as it did in the hearts of those disciples on the road to Emmaus, as Jesus enlightened them from the Scriptures. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would enlighten us this morning as we look at the charge of Christ. And Father, may we be willing to respond to it. And Father, may we adopt a charge in our lives as we go forth on this earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The charge of Christ. As I look at this morning, this main idea may not be necessarily implicit in the text, but I believe that in the way that Jesus spoke these words, we understand that he did indeed do this. The main idea is that Jesus Christ completed his charge. He completed it. You see these ways in which he said, "I do this, I do this. I did not come to do this, but I did come to do this." Does that make sense within the word? And we know that when Jesus was saying these things in regards to what in God's timing, all right, we got to think about God because he exists outside of time and space, which is hard for us because we exist here on this planar level, do we not? And so it's very hard. So even when Jesus says these things, he has already completed his charge in the eyes of God because he exists outside of time and space. I don't know if that makes sense. That may be too deep this morning. I don't know. If it is, eat another M&M, right? But the thing is, we understand because we are on this side of the cross that Jesus Christ did indeed complete his charge that was given to him by his Father in heaven. So the question this morning, the big question this morning is, will you consider what Christ has done? Will you consider that Christ completed his charge and what that implies about you and your life? And here at the end of the message this morning, when I think about considering what Christ has done, if you are here and you are lost, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the way you consider this is whether or not you accept the gift that Christ offers you through what he completed on the cross. As a Christ follower, will you consider what he has done for you, and the fact that should be our drive to continue to do all that God has commanded us to do, and living a life that is pleasing to him and to telling the world about this wonderful Savior, this Jesus Christ, who completed his charge and provided salvation through his death on the cross. That is what we need to consider this morning. And maybe even in the midst of this, as a Christ follower, what can we adopt as our charge as we look at Jesus' example? So I want to share with you three components. You see my alliteration this morning. I'm using C words. So if you want to go down through those blanks that you have, I know you have extra blanks this morning. Did you notice that? On every point, there are two blanks, so there's a little more writing to do. I know that, again, you've lost an hour of sleep, so I'm trying to get your brain going this morning a little bit more, all right, by allowing you the opportunity to write a little bit more. But you can go through those blanks, and you can start it with C, and you'll be ahead of the game. Amen? All right. All right. I don't know if you've noticed or not. My heart's full this morning. I know I say that quite often, but my heart is full this morning. And so it may be an hour. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. MK says, All right. Three components of Christ's charge. The first one, why he came. He came to clarify our condition. He came to clarify our condition. And I want to read my thoughts, or actually read the passage here, the part of the scripture that contributed to my thoughts. It says, Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. Now listen to this. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness." Jesus came as light in the world. We just sang about it. Here I am to worship. Light of the world. You stepped out in down into darkness, right? He is the light of the world. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, I believe that all the scripture will be on the screen, so you don't have to worry about flipping there unless you just want to make sure that I copied it down right. Isaiah 9, 2, in the predictions of the coming Messiah, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness." In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "In him was life, and that life was" what? "The light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it." Jesus spoke to them again in John 8, 12, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus came to illuminate the darkness of our lives. Light has two functions: to expose obstacles and to show the way. So this is exactly what Jesus did. He did it to clarify our condition. Our obstacle is sin, is it not? We read in the Word of God, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one who does good except God alone. Our righteousness is like filthy rags," the Scripture says. He came to clarify our condition. Our obstacle is sin. Jesus exposed the sin of mankind when he came, and he still does it today. He is the light of the world. It's not he was the light of the world when he was here. He is the light of the world. He always has been the light of the world. Not only did he expose the obstacle of sin in clarifying our condition, but he showed us the way. He showed us the way. You see, part of our condition is that if we have sin and there's nothing we can do about it, we need to know the way, do we not? John 14, 6, Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Light has two functions, remember? Expose the obstacles, to show the way. And that's exactly what Jesus did to clarify our condition. Jesus clarifies our sinful condition that has been concealed by the cataracts of self and conveys to us that he is the way to his Father. You see, on our spiritual eyes, there are cataracts that cloud our vision because honestly, we think in this world today there is something that we can do to atone for our sin, to make up for our sin. But Jesus says, no, you have an obstacle and there's nothing you can do about it, and I am the way. am the only way. He came to clarify our condition. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, it says this, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, and many of you probably have heard me say this before, but Paul is quoting, or he's referring back to the creation when the earth was formless and it was void. In order to speak into the chaos that was happening within the world, he began to order the chaos of the world by saying, "Let there be light." And you have to understand something. When Jesus comes into a person's life, that's exactly what he does in our hearts. He speaks light into the chaos of our lives because of what sin has caused. And he says, "Let there be light," and begins to order our lives once again and to redeem us and to recreate us into his image so that we can be what God created us to be. Amen? So Jesus said to them, well, let me go first of all and say that as Christians, we're to do the same. We're to be light, aren't we? This charge that Christ had is the same charge that he gives to us. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7 says this, "I am the Lord, I have called you for a righteous purpose, and I will hold you by your hand. I will watch over you, and I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people, and a light to the nations, in order," and listen to this, "to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those sitting in darkness from the prison house." This is what God has called us to do. He says, just as I gave Jesus the charge to be the light of the world, so I give you this charge. You are a righteous people, my holy possessions, to be the light of the world. We cannot do this on our own. That is the wonderful truth of the Holy Spirit living in us, who shines through us to those around us. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 and 16, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And then we like that last verse, don't we? Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You are the light of the world, Christ follower, this morning. Will you accept this charge from God and follow Jesus' example? Because here's the reality. If we were in a condition where we could not see our obstacles and we did not know the way, then there are people around us that are currently in the same condition we once were. They need the light, and we need to share with them that light. There is a hymn. You knew I was going there, didn't you? All right. There's a hymn from time to time we've sang. I'm not sure if it's in our current hymn. No, I didn't find it. Maybe I didn't look hard enough. The light of the world is Jesus. And listen to this. The whole world was lost in darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Christ abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at His bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. And we have that light. Not only did he come to clarify our condition, but he came to cover sin's cost. He came to cover sin's cost. Listen to what he says there in verses 47 and 48. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge them, for I did not come to judge the world, but what? To save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken with will judge him on the last days. He says, part of my charge was to come to save the world. Part of my charge was to cover the cost of sin. We know from Scripture that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said in John 3, 16 and 17, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Another time in Jesus' ministry, he gives us this idea in John 10:10. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they might have life and have it in abundance. And let me tell you this morning, unless Jesus saves you, you cannot have abundant life. You may seek it in all things in this earth, that people, that society, that culture tells you, you can find fulfillment in this. But let me tell you, it leaves you empty, it leaves you bankrupt, and it cannot save you. It cannot cover the cost of your sin. And Jesus came to do just that when he went to the cross, to die for you and to die for me and to die for the sins of all mankind. Jesus also said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." And here he speaks these same words. His mission was not to judge or condemn. It was to save the lost and cover sin's cost. It was to save the lost and cover sin's cost. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godliness and worldly lust, and to live in a sensible, righteous, in godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." He gave Himself. He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession, eager to do good works. You see, when the truth of the gospel grips a person's heart and they realize that they had an obstacle which was sin, and that Jesus came to show the way, and He did that by going to the cross to cover their sin's cost, it grips their heart in such a way that they'll be eager to do good works because they know that this pleases the Father. Therefore, Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, "There is now no condemnation, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." He makes it clear, however, in this passage, that judgment and condemnation will fall on those who do not believe in the last days. It will fall on those who do not accept what he illuminates, that man is simple, and that he is the way because he covered sin's cost. As Christians, obviously we're not called to cover sin's cost, are we? That has already been done. However, we are to take Jesus to the world so that people might know that Jesus covered the cost of their sin. This is how we accept this part of the charge of Christ. Not that we can cover anything, but that we can lead them to the person that has already done just that. Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us everything is from God, who has reconciled, He's covered the cost, He's reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and what has He done? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Our job is not to save people, but it's to proclaim forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Got another song here we sing from time to time. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. We've sang this recently, haven't we, Pastor Al Ray? This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, and listen to this, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world. There's that light again, right? Light of the world, by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. He covered sin's cost. Do you hear that in this song this morning? We sing this on occasion. This is what we're proclaiming when we sing it. He covered the cost of our sin. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or He calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Whew. Amen. All right. We've got one more, don't I? That should be enough. Amen. That should be enough. But there's one more part of His charge that I think we need to look at this morning. He not only clarified our condition, and He not only covered our sin's cost, but He communicates God's command. That was part of His charge, to communicate God's command. Listen to what He says here. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father Himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know that His command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. Isn't this a wonderful charge? It's not as if Jesus, I mean, Jesus is God, right? I mean, He's part of the Trinity. God in three persons, right? But He says, I speak. I do. The things that I do as a result of God's command in my life. So listen closely as I speak and as I do, because when you do look, listen, and you do look, you will see, you will understand the command of God. Jesus said in John 5, verse 30, I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus answered them, He says in John 7, verses 16 and 7, my teaching isn't mine, but it is from the one who sent me. And who sent Jesus? The Father. If anyone wants to do the Father's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own. John 8, verses 28 and 29, and also verse 38 says, so Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, when He's on the cross, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing on my own. But just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases Him. Verse 38 says, I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. So then, you do what you have heard from your Father. Everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did was a result of His desire to do God's will. God gave Jesus a charge, and He did it. And through what He said and what He did, Jesus communicated God's command. As Christians, is that not what we're to do? Are we not to communicate the command of God? Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Another portion of Scripture there in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 7. It's a little bit longer, but I felt it necessary to read all of this. Additionally then, brothers and sisters, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received instruction from us on how you should live and please God, as you are doing, do this even more. For you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is God's will, your sanctification. You're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And then he lists something specifically here, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you knows how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passions like the Gentiles who don't know God. This means one must not transgress against and take advantage of a brother or sister in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger of all those offenses. As we also previously told and warned you. Now listen to this. For God has not called us to impurity, but to live in holiness. And living in holiness means that we speak and we say what God has commanded us to speak and say. Living in holiness means that we do what God has called us to do in His Word, what He commands. Our drive in life should be to please God by communicating His command through all we say and do. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? Is your life a channel of blessing? Are you burdened for those who are lost? Have you urged upon those who are straying the Savior who died on the cross? Is your life a channel of blessing? Is it daily telling for Him? Have you spoken the word of salvation to those who are dying in sin? We cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from known sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Will you consider what Christ has done for you? He had his charge from God, did he not? He completed that charge. He clarified your condition. He covered the cost of your sin. And he did everything. He communicated God's command to you. God's command to you this morning, if you are lost. I say it's a command. It's not like it's a drudgery, but it's a wonderful truth that he proclaims. That if you'll come and lay your burdens down here at the cross, the burden of your sin, he can take it away because Christ went to the cross for your sin. All you have to do is trust that there's nothing you can do about it and trust that Christ has already done something about it this morning. Will you consider what Christ has done for you? Christ, Father, will you consider what Christ has done for you? Because he changed your condition, did he not? When you placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your condition changed from being a sinner to being a saint. Your condition changed to be laden with sin. That burden was off of you. Will you not take up the charge of being a light to the world? Will you not tell others how their sin can be covered? The cost is covered. And will you not communicate to the world God's commands in what you say, in what you do? Maybe this morning, for you Christ follower, it might be a recommitment of your life and saying, yes, I will pick up the charge and I will go forth because he's done so much for me. And in doing so, I will be a channel of blessing this day. Will you consider what Christ has done for you? I want to ask you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. I know that there's quite a bit of information this morning that I shared. But I also know that the Holy Spirit is here. And he is in our midst. And because he is here, he may be calling someone to a response. Maybe throughout this service, as I've shared from God's Word, you have already been considering what Christ has done for you. And the Holy Spirit may be wooing you this morning. If he is, don't resist. Scripture says that today is the day of salvation. Will you not give your heart to him? Will you not place your trust in him today? Because he's covered the cost of your sin. If that's you this morning and you would say, I need to place my trust in Jesus for the very first time, I want to give you a couple opportunities or a couple of ways to respond. Maybe right where you're at, you would simply pray to God. God, I'm a sinner. I know you covered the cost of my sin by going to the cross. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of it and I turn towards you with all my heart. Become my Savior. Become my Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. It's a simple way to pray. And quite honestly, words of a prayer never save anybody. But you knew, you do need to call out upon him, because the scripture says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So would you do that this morning? Maybe right where you're at, if you want to come forward here in just a moment, I would love to pray with you. I would love to share with you a little bit more about how you could be saved. Christian, this morning, will you consider what God has done for you? Maybe this morning, God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, has spurred your heart. And you would say, I want to take up this charge, no matter the cost. Would you just simply pray where you're at? God, I commit to you. Thank you that Jesus completed his charge. Help me to take it up. Maybe right where you're at, the altar's open this morning. Would you come? Respond as the Holy Spirit is leading you this morning.